conversation for now, and you've covered about as much as you're able to cover during the time that's allotted for the process that you're in. Because of this journey, I can honestly say I'm a better man because of this journey. I can honestly say I'm a better Christian because of this journey. I can say I'm a better husband because of this journey. I know for me it has really helped me personally, and I will be forever thankful for God setting me on a course like this for where it's taken me. I pray that as we move forward that you too have been benefited by something that has been said. You too have awakened something in your spirit that has shown you what's possible. It's possible. That you know it's possible for you to be more than you are. It is possible for you to achieve more. It's possible for you to handle more than you've been handling. It's possible for you to respond in ways like you're a child of God that you thought you would never have the power of responding in those ways. And I pray that you're starting to recognize that you are not fixed or locked in such a circumstance that it is impossible for you to move from where you are, though you have experienced yourself as yourself for a long time. You can renew your mind. You can do this. You are able to renew your mind. You are able to transcend beyond what you have been doing and or thinking, and you can go to another level and literally change your life. Literally change your life. And if you haven't gotten that through all of this, then I don't know what to do for you, because I don't know how to articulate some of the things I've articulated any better. One thing I do know, with the leadership's approval and encouragement, and if we can collaborate, I do know, and I feel like there's a need to really do a class about this. There's so many areas that I couldn't talk about in sermatic form that in a class, and there may be questions that have sprung up in your mind that you want to ask. And I think if we had a classroom setting, it might be helpful to help you walk through the process, because it's a journey. And I know what I've had to go through personally in the journey. And I feel like if you're going to obtain to the level of being transformed and renewed in your mind that you would like to, then you're going to have to go on a journey. And you need to know how this journey plays out. And I can kind of navigate some of you through that as we do that. Amen. So that's forthcoming. But for today, I want to talk about understanding how to change you. And changing us is what God's involvement in our life is really all about. Changing us. Changing us from where we were. You know, we've been transformed into the kingdom of light. We're being renewed by our mind. We're being called out of darkness into the marvelous light there. Everything about the Word of God and about the experience with God is designed not for us to remain as we are, not for us to stay as we are, not to have a little better version of us, but for us to lose our identity as it relates to our life as a person, but and then assume the identity of Christ walking in us, where we become the lights of the world, where we become the example that people look to see what it looks like as God lives in our lives, to where the Word becomes flesh through us. It becomes flesh through us. And we walk amongst the people demonstrating the Word in our lives by the way we act, by the way we talk, and especially by the way we think. And so as we look at this process, understanding how to change you, as we start the process of changing or renewing our minds, we really have to understand why we have not changed or why we haven't renewed our minds sooner. As long as we have been around the Word of God and the church and the things that we know that are right, why aren't we any better at renewing our minds? Why is it so that it seems like this is new to us? I mean, why does it feel like the effort of mind renewal is just feeling like it's a new, you know, a new agenda, a new process, and yet it has been a part of the canon of the Scripture since we can remember? So while we just now really discovering that we can and should and finally will renew our minds, why is it? Well, one, I believe, is a failure to understand that we are responsible for our spirituality or our thinking. Somebody know that got cut off. I knew what I was saying there. But for our thinking, we are responsible. You and I have a responsibility to control our thinking. And when you don't understand that, you give yourself license to just think as you want to think, as you want to think about it. It's not bothering anybody. And yet we are contaminating our minds. We are programming ourselves through the negativity of the thoughts that we don't address. And we set ourselves on courses that we end up at places we don't like, wonder how we got there, and don't know how to get out of them, because we have not understood it's my job to control my thinking. It's my job to make sure I think right. It's my job to make sure that I am focused the right way. And nobody is responsible for that other than me. I can't blame my spouse. I can't blame my children. I can't blame my circumstances. I need to take the responsibility and own it that God has given me the power to renew my mind, and I need to take the responsibility and stop making excuses for not being all that God made me to be. We just fail to understand that. You know, how to be responsible for our thoughts. Failure to recognize that your thoughts have power to influence your life. We have been allowing negative thoughts to set us on negative courses, to bring negativity in our lives. We've been doing this for so long that's just the way life is. No. God didn't bring us into the spiritual realm in order for us to keep living like there's no power in Christ Jesus. He brought us into the spiritual realm in order for us to become the transformed people of God, where men and women can look at us and say, what is it about your life? How are you able to handle? How are you able to do? Why? I know where you came from. How did you change yourself? And you be able to say, it's the cross, and God gave me the and I took advantage of the power given to me, and I applied myself, and as a result, I became. But you got to recognize that your thoughts, every thought. You know, we just sung a song, every praise is to our God, where every thought is doing something in you. Either good or bad. Every thought is either helping you become more like God or is taking you from the Spirit and presence of God. Every thought. And you have to be responsible. Quit copying out. Quit acting like you can't help yourself. When God has given you the ability to control your thinking. So failure to understand, see, you really got to own this now. That it's your job, and you can. And God never asks us to do something that we don't have the ability to do. Never asks us to do anything we don't have the ability to do. Failure to pay attention to what we're actually thinking. See, we've been subconsciously thinking because we programmed ourselves the way we are. We don't even think about when we get upset. We don't even think about what makes us want to rise up. We don't even think about it. Why am I feeling like that? We don't even think about it. Why I feel compelled to look at somebody in that way. We don't even think about it. Why am I feeling this way about people? Why I have this feeling in my heart? Well, and it's so natural you don't even think about it. It's because we have failed to pay attention to how we have programmed ourselves, and our subconscious mind is just running our lives. It's just running us. Somebody come in and the subconscious say, you ain't supposed to like them. Look at how they dress. You know, we don't like folk that's dressed like that. There's something wrong with them. And you say, yeah, you right. I ain't going to like them. You ain't even said hi. You don't even know who they are. But your programming said, they ain't no good. And you said, yeah, you right. They ain't no good. And we're just going with the program. We've been doing that so long that we don't even think about it at all. We're very judgmental, and we judge folk and size them up and figure out what they are, and we do it in a split second and say, yeah, that's the category there. Yeah, and that's where we put them. And we've done it. We've gone on about our business, and we start treating them based on that thought, and we didn't even say it, hi. Well, what made you come to that conclusion? Programming. Well, who programmed? You did. It's your program that you've been running for so long that you don't even think about it. We have to start paying attention to what we are thinking. If we're ever going to become children of the Most High God, and I know we've been born again, but I'm talking about reflecting the Spirit, becoming the kind of person where God can say, have you considered my servant? Hey, nobody like him. Nobody like her. How she eschews evil. He dedicates himself to me. He makes sure he lives for me. And he sacrificed himself. Have you considered that person? Not that we all bring our agenda to the table and we are working our agenda instead of letting God work through us. It's a failure to pay attention to what we're thinking. It's one of the reasons why we just haven't changed. Failure to make a decision not to think in a certain way. You see, because we've been so accustomed to the sub-programming of our subconscious and it's programmed into us, we just accept it as the way we think, and we have never made a decision, I don't want to think like this anymore. I don't want to respond like this anymore. I don't want to feel like this about somebody anymore. I draw a line in the sand, and I'm not giving myself permission to act and think like this anymore. It stops now. Well, who's stopping it? I am. I'm stopping it. And we never get that definitive about changing our lives. We say things like, you know, I need to stop doing so-and-so. And your subconscious say, well, that means you ain't doing nothing then. Because you don't never do anything you need to do. You know, well, I need to lose some weight. Well, subconscious say, okay, we ain't changing nothing. Just keep things rolling. That's just conversation. There is no real intent or desire to change anything. We just pacify ourselves with some words sounding good to us, but there's no real intent to change anything. At all. Until you make a decision. And I talked about on last week that until we find ourselves in some type of pain or crises as a result of the way we're thinking or been thinking, that's the only time we come to start really seriously trying to figure out how we're going to change. You know, when the doctor tells you, you know, if you keep eating like this, okay, and then even when you know it's detrimental to you, it's still hard for you to give up some things because it's been so ingrained. It's so a part of you. My mom knew that she wasn't supposed to eat certain things like, you know, salt pork and all this high pork stuff. You know, my mom knew that she wasn't supposed to eat that kind of food. She knew that. And my dad tried to make sure that those foods were not around the house. But because, even though she knew it was detrimental to her health, because she wanted them anyway, she would call people to sneak food over to her. When she knew my dad wasn't there and would get the food anyway. Eat it. And the last time she did that was the last time. Set her straight up in the bed in the middle of the night. She flopped down. Oh, she did not deny herself, even though she knew it was detrimental. That's a bad program. And that's why, and some people may know what I'm talking about. You know you ought to leave this man alone. You know this man ain't no good for you. You know this man is taking you down the road that you shouldn't been on. And you know you got scars to show you ought not be in this relationship with this man. And yet, there's something in you that make you want to say, but I need him still. and you go running back over there, knowing that it's detrimental to you, knowing that it's going to end bad for you, and yet you find yourself not able to stop. You know you need to leave drugs alone. Whatever your drug of choice is. You know that it's taking you down the wrong road. You know you're spending money you don't have for something that is not helping you at all. You know you can't just take a drink and go about your business. You know that there's something in you that once you start, you don't know how to stop yourself. And yet, even with that knowledge, you find yourself desirous of the very thing that you know. You know. You are not able to make a decision to move in another way. Even though you need, and nobody can make this one for you. I don't care how many times people shake their finger, if you do this again, but it don't matter until you make the decision. You may modify your behavior for a minute, but there is no lasting change until you decide no more. Never again. And then failure to decide to think in a certain way. Failure to make sure that every thought that I have lines up with the purpose that I believe is a part of my life. And every thought that is contrary to what I know I want to stand for, I tend to be, I intentionally am addressing that thought. As they pop up. Not when I get around to it. And I could give more reasons, but those are some of the key reasons why we have not been able to really allow the Word of God to transform our lives thus far. I believe that if you look at the scripture. And you may not be able to read it, but it's Psalms 1, so you can pull it up. Psalms chapter 1. I want to point out some things about this text as it relates to my renewal that I want you to get and understand. Scripture says that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, hear what it's saying. The man who has heard God's word and has decided, in light of that teaching, I am not going to give audience nor ear nor any of my time to those who spend their time talking foolish. Because it profits me nothing. And that man, because he has made the decision, and it is always a decision, to not allow himself to let popularity, to let social whims, to let I want to be in the end, to let, you know, I want to feel like I belong. None of those feelings are going to push him to the point where he says, I don't want to be popular if popularity means I got to listen to this. I don't want to be in the know if being in the know means I got to be around this. Are you following me? The man has already decided that he is not going to put himself in bad company. He decided that. And that means that decision is something you have to deal with all the time, because you all the time have to make decisions about whether or not you can put yourself in bad company or in bad counsel. When you know people don't like certain people, why are you going to ask them about what you think ought to do about so-and-so? What kind of counsel do you think you're going to get? When you make your decision that I don't want to be pacified into feeling like I'm justified in a bad position, so I'm not going to talk to folk who are going to pat me on the back for being wrong. That's the person that does not walk with counsel of folk that's ungodly, nor standeth in the path or the way of sinners. Here's a person who has already decided that when I know you are up to no good, when I know you will put yourself before you put the Lord, when I know there's a tendency in you to take care of you more than you take care of God's business, then I'm not going to allow myself to find myself comfortable in that surroundings. Because I decided. No, sitteth with those that are scorning. There are people who, I don't care what you see and what you do, they can always tell you how it went wrong. Oh, you thought that went good? You didn't see, did you? Let me tell you what happened, what really happened. And you eager, tell me what happened. Really? Man, I missed that. You see, this is a person who does not take resident with those who always find the negative, always have the bad answer, always are talking about folk and never talking to folk. But they'll tell you everything wrong with everybody. And that's who you run with? That's who you call? That's who you Facebook? You see, it's a decision. Here's a person that's blessed because he's already decided how he's going to live. These things cannot come into my life. These things come into my life. He says, but his delight. Now watch this. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, let's talk about this for a minute. I've read scripture for a long time. I've read a lot of scriptures for many years. Some of you have read a lot of scriptures. You've read a lot of things that are true in the Word. Why aren't we any better after reading all that Bible? Because we've been reading it a long time. You know? And like I said last week, and most of it we can quote. We don't even read, just read it, we can quote it. There is a difference between reading the Word for your satisfaction of I have read the Word, and your reading the Word to find out where am I as it relates to the Word. And when I see I'm not where the Word is saying I ought to be, now saying, okay, I need to fix this. Not read on and say one of these days. Yeah, And don't act like that's not talking about you. When you see yourself in Scripture, particularly when you fall short of Scripture. And there are not many times I read Scripture when I don't fall short. Not many times, if I'm honest. Now, if you're trying to fool yourself, just read like you got it all together and go on. And you ain't going to never renew your mind because you're not honest. You're not honest. Okay? You're really not honest. And self-deception is the greatest deception. When you are able to read the Word, and the Word says, you ought to love your enemy, and you stop. And you stop. And you start thinking about how you're feeling about some folk that you know may not like you. And you look at that, and it says, love your enemy. And in your heart of hearts, you know you ain't got no love for the folk that you know don't like you. Now, how do I apply? How do I live out what he said? If I am content to go on like, well, one of these days, you know, I'm just not there yet. I know what it says. I just haven't grown there yet. And what you're telling your mind, and we don't intend to grow there. And we don't intend to change this. I need to reserve the right to feel about folk like I want to feel about them. Because now I don't want to give up the right. I see with love. No, I don't want to give up the right to hold somebody in contempt and put them in jail in my mind and keep them there when they have done me wrong, and I don't care what he said. I ain't doing that. Wait a minute. Then how are you going to renew your mind when you haven't made a decision that you want to obey God no matter what? How are you going to be a real child of God and you are picking and choosing if and when you're going to try to obey him? When it's convenient, when it works in my interest, when it serves me, then I'll obey. But now, if I got to give up something, if I got to sacrifice to get this, I'm not doing that. Then meditating on his word ain't going to help you. Because when the word shows you that you're wrong, you're not willing to draw a line in the sand and say, I got to fix this. I gotta change this. You can't look to the right or the left. You can't look up around. You know how you feel about this command, and it's wrong, and you're on the wrong side of it. Now, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? Are you gonna keep thinking that it's okay for you to compromise the word, or are you going to start the journey of renewing your mind so that you can change your behavior and start obeying what the word says, even in this instance? You see, the word will transform you as you learn to want to let it transform you. And if you don't want the word to change you because you kind of like where you are, you like the wrongness that you have in you. And it ain't that bad to have it in you. You're still a pretty good person. So you're going to keep that. Then you'll never be that man that's blessed. It's not about how you read the word and meditate on it. It's about how you apply what you know is wrong in your life to your life. And when you decide that I need to change this, now you meditate on the change day and night. You meditate on your intent. I know how I've been doing it. This is how I want to do it. This is how I need to do it, Lord. Now you meditate on that day and night. You start telling yourself, I can't give myself the license just to do this because I've always done it. I need to change this, and I need to meditate on changing it day and night. And as you become very intentional and deliberate about that thing, something starts happening in your heart and subconscious. Your wiring in your brain starts changing. Literally. And the way you feel about what you used to do, you start getting a different feel for it. Why? You're starting to renew your mind. About that. You're starting to say, and you'll start finding yourself, instead of going automatically to your old initial feelings when you're in the situation, you change. And you start acting different than you normally act. You start feeling different about that. You start thinking different. And the next thing you know, somewhere along the line, you're not bothered by it at all. You have renewed your mind in that situation. Everybody with me? In that situation, you've renewed your mind and you keep meditating on it. And now you're being transformed, literally, by your renewing of your personal mind. And you have taught yourself how to take the negativity out of your life and push that thing aside. And when you know you can do it once, when you know you can get rid of this, you can get rid of that. And then you can get rid of that. You know, jealousy, yeah, you can get rid of that. You know, covetous, yeah, you can get rid of that. Envious, yeah, you can move that too. You know, pride, yeah, you can get rid of that. All of that, one thing at a time. By meditating on what you want to do, and deciding that you want to do it, and praying about wanting to do it, and asking God to help you do it. And the more you do that, you convince your mind that you're serious about doing it. And the old response that you used to do, your mind starts pushing that out of the way. Say, okay, guys, we got a new program that we're running. I know we used to act ugly when folk did this to us, but this ain't how we acting anymore. This is a new program, and every time you have that feeling, if you go back to that thought that this is how I'm going to do it, you'll find yourself living that way, and it becomes just the way you live. You have renewed your mind in that. You renewed your mind. And everybody with me? And watch this. Watch this. When you take the word and learn to make application in your life, and listen, I'm not talking about theory. I'm telling you what I've experienced. I'm telling you what I've experienced. How I've watched God through his word and my dedication to and commitment to putting this out of my life, how he's taken something out of my life where I'm just in awe of how I'm thinking about that now. I know what he's doing. This ain't no theory. If you want to change your mind, you can change your mind. If you want a mind renewed, you can renew your mind. But you can't renew your mind acting like you're acting and thinking like you're thinking. You're going to have to change. Now watch this. The man that does this is going to be like a tree planted. Yeah, I could preach right in there if I really wanted to. Like the rivers of water. I mean, he anchors you. When you know you are anchored in the Lord and nothing external can move you now. I don't care how folk talk to you. You have decided how you're going to act because you anchored. I don't care how they speak to you. Doesn't matter. That's them. I'm anchored. Doesn't matter what they, how they look at you. Doesn't matter when they ignore you because you anchored. You anchored. Nothing external comes into you now, bothering you, because little by little, one at a time, you have renewed your mind and changed the way you think and respond about all of this. Says you're like the river, a tree planted by the river, bringing forth fruit in season. And the reason why fruit is not demonstrated or the execution of the word of God in your daily life. Fruit. Fruit. The execution of what God says in your affairs. Fruit. Reason why you ain't got no fruit is because you have not dealt with what you are supposed to do. You haven't been like a tree planted by the rivers of water because you haven't meditated on his word to get that out of your life. But when you do, you're like a tree planted by rivers of water and you bring forth fruit in season in the circumstances of your life and your leaf doesn't wither and whatever you do. Now watch this. God will start blessing everything you put your hands on. He'll start blessing everything you put your hands on. But verse 4 say, but the ungodly are not like this. They're like the chaff that the wind driveth away. And you know why you don't have any root in your faithfulness in the church? Even though you know the church is right, even though you know you need to be in the church, even though you know you need to be a part of a spiritual family, it's because you have not allowed yourself to think that you need and have the ability to have godliness in your life, and you don't feel like you belong here. Now, I'm talking to somebody, and you drag yourself up in here, but you don't feel like you belong. Because in your heart, you know how you think, you know what you think. And if you will judge based on your thoughts and they aren't changing and you don't know how to change them, then you just show up and we're glad you're here. But you can change your life because you need to know ungodly folk are not going to stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Why? Because the Lord knoweth those that decide to serve him faithfully in all things. things. The Lord knows those that give their life completely to him and let him one by one remove things out of their life. Am I helping anybody? So, as you meditate on the word, ask yourself this. In light of what I understand God is teaching me, am I obeying God to the best of my ability? Now, you got to be honest. I know what he says here. Am I doing this to the best of my ability? You got to ask you, what am I actually doing or thinking as it relates to this command? How am I responding to this? God says I ought to be this, I ought to do this, I ought to think this, I ought to act this way. Now, how am I thinking as it relates to this? You need to be writing this down for yourself. This is where journaling comes in. You need to write down your response and be honest with yourself. Do I want to continue to believe and think like this way? Do I want to live the rest of my life with this as a spiritual limitation for me? Do I want to live the rest of my life not ever obeying the command that God placed on me in this area? Really? Am I going to see his face knowing I never tried to deal with this? And I knew it was in me. So do I want to continue to believe and think in this way? And in light of his word, what beliefs or thoughts would I like to change about myself? How do I want to be as it relates to this? How do I want to feel? What I want it to feel like? How do I want to respond in this way? When this is coming up, how would I like to feel? I know how I feel, but how do I want to feel? What do I want to think? You need to write that down. And then you need to make a decision. I now decide that I don't want to think or act in this way any longer. I decide I don't want to think like this. I want to feel like this. I don't want to act like this anymore. Feel like I ain't getting my way, and I feel like I ain't getting my way. I just get. No, you need to deal with you. You got a problem, and you need to address it from the word. And when the word tells you, and it's very clear about how we ought to be, how we ought to think, how we ought to act, how we ought to respond, how we ought to support, how we ought to love, how we ought to give, how we ought to share, how we ought to bear, how we ought to care, it's all there. You don't have to guess what God wants us to be. He tells us. The question is, when do we want to be like that? When are we going to be like that? Are we going to do a New Year's resolution in a month or so and say, you know what, I'm going to put that on the list again. And you know what happened to those lists, right? You know, who's still paying on a gym membership they ain't going to? Don't raise your hand. Man, I'm going to work out this year. Okay. Listen, now I know this seems simple, and Lord knows I've tried to communicate this in the best way I know how, without throwing all kind of technical stuff at you, okay, because it's a lot of stuff going on technically that makes this work. Trust me, but God knows what he was doing when he says, you can renew your mind. But we got to want to be the best person we can be in all areas of our lives and stop being okay with the compromises that we're living with. We got to shut it down And until we decide we're going to shut those things down, we're never going to renew our mind because we're not going to work that hard. Now, this is for folk that want to shine the light. If you want to be the light, I'm showing you. If you just want to be in the church, don't pay attention. Nothing I said. And you just keep on coming, and we just keep on putting up with you, okay? Because you ain't going to never change. Because you're not going to work that hard. And that's your choice. But as for me, I just want him to come and find me doing my best, being my best, giving my best. I want him to find me changing in my mind, working at renewal. And I may not have gotten to everything I need to get to, but as it comes up, I want to be working on getting it out of my life. And I promise you, every time you get one down, he'll show you another one you need to work on. He'll show you another one. Okay, you're pretty good, darling. Let me show you something else about yourself. Look over here in the Word. Ooh, Lord, you did say that, didn't you? And now I got to start working it all over again. Everybody with me? Describe to yourself how you're going to feel as you obey his word. There is no feeling that you get like knowing you're in his will. When you know you're in his will. Man, I'm doing exactly what I know God wants me to do now. There ain't no feeling like that. And when you can describe what you are going to feel like when you are able to live like this, you start teaching yourself and training yourself and conditioning yourself to be just what you just described. And when you put it out there like that, there are forces at work, invisible. I talked about them last week, that will help you to become and fulfill everything that you say you want to be, and will bring it into your life in ways you can't even understand when you make the decision. Okay. I hope I've helped somebody with this. There's more to be said, perhaps, that there are other lessons I could possibly bring, but I'm just rehashing it over again. It boils down to you got to make a decision. And you got to be ready to work on you. And you got to stop making excuses. And you got to know you have the ability to be more than you can be. And then you just got to decide that now is the day I'm going to start. Amen? And don't be conformed to this world. You ain't going to hear this for a while, okay? Be not conformed to this world. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And finally, brethren, and I mean finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and whatsoever things are honest and that they are just and pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, if they have a good report and be virtuous and praiseworthy, think about these things. Amen? Mind renewal is yours. And if you're here,